Yiridumarung, my name is Ray Johnston and welcome to an arts special for Take It Black, chatting with two incredible performers for this episode. First up is the talented and determined music all-rounder, musician Ryan Clapham, aka Dobby, who jumped on the phone to have a yarn about his next big gig. Dobby, welcome. Who's your mob? Where are you from?
My name is Ryan Clapham. My mob is the Murawari peoples on my father's side. I'm Filipino on my mother's side. So my grandmother was born and raised on Nambar Country, Brewarrin in northwest New South Wales. And her father, my great-grandfather, was born under the birthing tree on the Kolgawa River in Wilmeringal.
Beautiful. And you're probably best known for your rapping, but also you do piano and drums. Has music always been a big part of your life?
Yeah, definitely. From an early age, I started playing piano. I was lucky enough to be able to have one of those little light-up keyboards that show you what note to press.
And yes, that was
so
cool.
Yeah. I wish I still had that keyboard, actually. But from there, I started getting more into drums and really being, really obsessed with drums and making beats. And along with that was my love for hip-hop music. And now, as an adult, I'm putting those three things together and bringing also classical music, my upbringing of, I guess, like early classical teachings and jazz on the drums and sort of putting it all together to create a unique sound for me. Yeah,
that must be an awesome feeling, just being able to bring all these elements of your life into the one creative pursuit that can also be a career. That must be so cool.
Oh, it's amazing. And I definitely grew up not thinking that you could actually do this for a living, and I'm starting to realize that things are really changing, and that this is a beautiful way to have fun, but also to pay my bills. And I'm really excited for the next generation for what they can do, and it's all a big, a part of a bigger picture.
That's it. And you've performed everywhere. You've been at the Opera House, you've been, the Netherlands. I caught you at the Factory Theatre a while ago during one of those COVID gigs with AB Original, and good stuff.
Geez.
But that's all right. What's been a career highlight for you so far, having done all these awesome things?
Oh my gosh. I feel like, actually one of the biggest career highlights is it just happened like a couple of days ago. I was just a part of Pachama Festival in Alice Springs.
Beautiful.
And we just came back from it because I performed, in front of the McDonald Ranges in the desert right there in Alice Springs as part of the festival. But also, my involvement was also as a soundscape designer. So Arnie Rota, hired me as someone to make the soundscape for each installation. Like, they had light installations there, and she wanted me to make music around it. And so that was just like an incredible experience. I've never had the opportunity to do something like that. And it was just amazing sitting back and watching kids, dancing around the installations, and I was just having a moment thinking, my God, this is my music. Like, it's so great.
That would have been incredible. Yeah, Parchma's just beautiful. I've only seen it from afar. Was that the first time that you've been there in person as well?
Yeah, my first time seeing it. And my gosh, like, my first time being there, really. I mean, I was there to meet everyone in its early stages, but the dust is so fine and red there. It felt like you were stepping on mud, how fine it was. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's
a beautiful, beautiful country.
Pretty special place out there. Now, I'm going back to your song I Can't Breathe with Barker. That's been a mainstay of the Black Lives Matter marches soundtrack since it dropped last year. And it's being used in schools now. Can you tell me what's happening there?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So we just came across I'll start with, my amazing cousin Jess Williams, who, shout out to her because she put the song together as an educational resource to then sort of submit to people for use in high school, like years 7 to 9, I think it is, just to talk about, deaths in custody, but privilege and racism and just things that, I think should be taught at an early age, because we can then understand, you know, power dynamics and really, you know, understanding what it is to live on these lands, these Aboriginal lands. And what happened recently, as it was sort of adopted by a group called Racism No Way, you know, it's one of their resources submitted to schools, New South Wales schools, I think. I think another one was a board game about white privilege. And this article came about through the Daily Telegraph and news.com.au that were just saying, you know, people are very offended by it. And, you know, we shouldn't be teaching kids how to be social justice warriors, which I think personally is a great thing.
I think it's a great thing. And often when you hear people, when you're having conversations with people that are finding out, you know, the way this country works for the first time, one of the first things they say to you is, oh, they don't teach you this stuff at school. So now we're going to teach kids at school and they're unhappy about it. Can't win.
Yeah. But you know what? And I was talking with Viv, my manager, who just really happy that it's reached that stage, because we never wanted it to, Barker, you know, we never wanted it to just sit within our own circles.
Yeah.
It's great that it's reaching people that needed to hear it. So, you know, it means it's working.
No, incredible work there. Yeah. And can you tell me a bit about what's happening down at the Canberra International Music Festival, April and May?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be a part of it, you know, and the amazing Roland Peelman has got us playing for the Canberra International Music Festival. We're playing on the 6th of May from 9 p.m. at the Verity Sessions Verity Lane Market. And so that will be on the 6th. And then on the 7th, we are playing from 6 p.m. at Cambry at ANU campus. So it's going to be really, really fun. So excited to play there.
And when I saw you, it was a, you know, COVID safe gig, one of the first gigs that was able to be held after, you know, lockdowns in a lot of cities. What's it like being able to get back out there and be performing again?
Oh, it feels so great. Hey, like, you know, people are, I'm starting to see, you know, energy coming back again, because it's so hard to really, you know, bring out your energy when you're wearing a mask over your face and people are sitting down. And I'm excited to see more people, just more people at more gigs. I feel like it's giving me life, you know.
Yeah.
Bringing energy back. So I'm just so excited. Whether or not we're dancing, at least we're still, you know, lucky enough and able to be playing in the same room will be very, very beautiful.
That's it. Well, looks like you've got a busy few months ahead. Hopefully they get even busier for you, but you still have plenty of downtime to rest and look after yourself. And thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
That was Dobby. Be sure to catch his show if you're in town.
Take it black.
Next up, actor and singer Sharika Clanton gave us a call to talk about her new show, Still I Rise. It features a range of her life experiences, from the racism and sexism she's faced as a woman of colour in the creative industry, the lessons her single mother tried to impart on her as a teenager, to getting hitched in 2019 and spending the first year of marriage in lockdown with her new husband. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat.
No, thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to hear more about Still I Rise. This is a show that you're putting on very shortly, and it's a mix of music and storytelling, I believe. How is that going to work?
So it stemmed from Maya Angelou's poem. And it's just basically my experiences in the industry and growing up, and then couple of my favorite songs that I think go well with what I'm talking about, and I've written an original song as well, so that's just it's just a bit of a nice sit down listen to me moment.
Nice. It's a really personal kind of work. Isn't it?
It is, actually. It's kind of scary because you're just like, there's no one else, just me and my stories, and you can like it or you cannot. It just it's a bit nerve-wracking, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, it must be really nice going into that space knowing that whatever the audience responds to, they're responding to your truth, and that you get to sit in that for a period of time as a as a performer. That's pretty rare. You've usually just got to take on masks of other people.
Yeah. So this is actually, it's just the last time last year doing it was just like, I'm not nervous, and then you get there, you're like, oh, I'm actually really nervous, because this is, it's nothing to fall back on, it's just, it's all my writing, all my truths, and it's basically my story, and I'm giving that to the audience.
So one of the things that you talk about in the show is some of the lessons that your mum tried to teach you as a teenager. Now, I am a mum to a teenager. Yeah. I was a single mum for many of those years. I want to know, what did your mum teach you that stuck? What do I need to get through my boy's skull?
How to clean properly. Like, don't do it half-assed, meaning you have to do it again. And so I'm also married. So I recently married before coronavirus hit. And so it's just going through that with my husband. It's like, no, you have to do it properly. Otherwise, you have to do it again.
Oh.
Don't do it half-assed. I'm sounding like my mother.
I have the same conversations with my husband as well. And my son. I've got the two of them and neither of them are listening.
It's just like, it's not wiping down the bathroom. You have to bloody well scrub it.
If you're looking at the sink and there's still bits in it, it's not clean.
Oh, don't even get me started on washing a pot and leaving the water in.
Oh.
It's not washing.
If I walk in the kitchen and there's still dishes there, you haven't cleaned the kitchen.
Yeah. And my spring cleaning, he's just like, oh, that's one bit. I'm like, no, we've just done one section. We've got to do the rest of the house. He's like, it's taking an hour. I'm like, it's called spring cleaning for a reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you have the Saturday mornings where you'd just hear the music blaring and you knew it was time to get up and clean altogether?
Yes.
What kind of music?
It was like ritual.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common experience. What kind of music were you listening to when you woke up clean?
Oh my gosh, remember Rage?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'd have Rage on, and then Mum would just leave it on. So ours was like old school 90s R&B.
Nice.
Which was thankful, because I'm like, I don't listen to country, and everyone's just like, yeah, mum and country music. I'm like, my mum hated it. So that's
Yeah, we didn't have much country music growing up either, and everyone talks about it, and you're just like,
So then I got a cousin, they're like, this song, I'm like, I have no idea. It just sounds like chunka chunka music. they're like, shut up, Shakira. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
So
blast on Aretha Franklin. And At Last, but it was just all old school music.
Oh, nice.
Growing up. So, yeah.
And what kind of music influences your music when you're writing? Do you look back at those younger days?
I would definitely say, yes, they do. Because I really love the lyrics and the sound, and the old school music, I think, tells a story.
Yeah.
But then, come on, there's also Queen Bee.
Oh, yeah.
You blast on Queen Bee and you just feel like you're like a movie star. So yeah, a bit of both.
Nice. So how is this show most different to previous performances that you've had? Is it just that personal element? Is there other things that you've brought in as well?
It really is that personal element. It's just the rawness. You know, and I've written in the piece, I just sit down, I'm like, this isn't, I don't have director's notes, I don't have fancy lights, this is just me telling my truths and my experiences to you, so I don't have anything to hide behind it.
Yeah, and sometimes that truth and those experiences aren't really easy to tap into, and you've dealt with a lot of sexism and racism just trying to do your job within your industry. What does it feel like to tap into that for an audience? Is that draining for you? Is it cathartic? What do you get out of that?
Well, it's kind of instilled in me, because when I'm playing my characters, I always kind of try and find a level of truth that I'm saying. Because you can speak a line and can bring a text, but if you can't bring it to life, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
So this one, talking about this show in particular, talking about my truth and my experiences, it just, it automatically goes there because it's memories.
Yeah.
For me. But you also have to be careful and be mindful of how far you can go when you're talking about experiences that can trigger you or can trigger somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find that there's an expectation when you're, when you're talking about negative experiences within an industry that you're then expected to have all the answers to fix that industry? Can you tell I know?
Yeah. It's just like I can't. And sometimes I think, especially as an Indigenous artist, which I'm proud of my culture, but I'm also proud of my African-American side, which is my father's side, and Native American Indian bloodline. So it's just that you have to find that balance, but it's also how do you, you don't want to keep educating people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And going, oh, well, you know, this is actually what happened, and this is what it means from their, this perspective. And it's like you, it comes to the time where, like, Australia really shouldn't, we should all be responsible of educating and learning the truth and the history.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think that's when we, that's when change really starts to happen, and acknowledgement. Not in, like, acknowledgement of country is a different thing, but acknowledgement of the truth and the history and the backstory of where, from before to where we are now.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, just concentrate on getting your job done when you're distracted by all this other stuff as well. And
yeah.
Other people don't have to deal with that.
No. And sometimes you just have to bring, it's like, as an Indigenous artist, I'm like, I can't speak for all Indigenous artists because I'm from Perth and my experiences are different, or I'm not from Sydney, I'm not from Melbourne. I can't say it's like this for all the mob because it's not really. And then, yeah, each experience is different.
Do you think it's going to get better anytime soon? Do you see tides turning?
I hope so. I pray it does. Like, I really do. I think this is a big first wave, especially what's happening with everybody else, not what's happening with the rest of the world and what's happening inside our own backyard. People are being able to willingly speak more about their truth and not be afraid to speak up, even though their voice is a bit shaky.
Yeah.
Or the backlash that they will receive or have received. I think that it's not courageous. I don't think it's courageous. I think it's about bloody time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, shows like yours, shows like Still I Rise, will encourage more people to be able to speak their truth as well. You know, setting that example, I think, is really important. So thank you for putting yourself out there.
It's scary, but it's also, it's nice, it's especially for women.
Yeah.
I'm a huge, you know, so many women have talked about their experiences, and it's regardless of race and gender, but for me personally, as a female artist, just listening to all the female voices and some mates, and then just talking about similar experiences that you've had and how do you handle that and how do you get through that, is what is, I hope, brings it to light.
Yeah. And is that the kind of experience that you're hoping audiences take away from the show, you know, to maybe have a bit of courage to speak their own truth as well?
I do, actually. I hope that everyone is able, because everyone's story is different and unique and beautiful. But then there's also the trauma or the moments where the unexpected something's happened that they didn't know how to handle that situation. So I would hope that coming and listening to my experiences and my stories allows them to do the same.
Yeah, and to be a bit kinder to ourselves as well, you know, we're really hard on ourselves when we go through things about how we respond to them and, you know, whether or not we're making enough of an impact. And I think we all just need to, you know, take a deep breath and recognise we're all human and, we're all just doing our best. So.
And that's exactly it. And I've written, you know, everyone is on their own journey, so we really shouldn't be judging other people based on the colour of their skin or their cultural background or their gender, but also be much more aware, I think, is a big one. Awareness of other people and their journey and their experiences, even though it's different, it kind of aligns.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what would you like people to know about the show before they decide whether to come along or not?
It will be fun. I don't know. Look, it's just, it really is me. It's nothing, no fancy music. It's just me sitting down, telling my truth, telling my story that I've written, and come and enjoy it with a glass of wine, I guess.
Oh, sounds good. So when and where can people come along and watch?
So it's at Darlinghurst Theatre, opens on the 5th of May, and then we close on the 9th, but it's 5th, 6th, 7th and 9th.
Perfect.
I hope people come to experience like a bit of joy, a bit of laughter, a bit of truth, and just have a yarn, really.
I'll definitely have to come along. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
And thanks so much for having a chat with me this morning. Appreciate it. Good
luck
for the show,
thanks so
chookers.
Much,
that was Sharika Clanton. Thanks for listening, and so you don't miss our next episode, be sure to subscribe. Leave us a rating and a review if you want, and until next time, remember to take it black. Oh,